and welcome to the best of things that go bump in the night. This is JC Bratton coming to you live from San Jose, California. In this classic episode, I'm going to discuss terminal lucidity. It's a very interesting phenomenon that's been studied quite a bit, actually. In this episode, I'm going to read an article that talks a little bit about the history of the topic and some of the interesting research and case studies that have happened with regards to the phenomenon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Hello. So today I'm going to be talking about a topic called terminal lucidity. So this article appearing in Mel magazine under culture and health section, it was posted a couple years ago by a person named Zarin Burnett III. I don't read this online magazine, so I don't know what they normally talk about, but this particular article was really fascinating and it really explains in detail about this topic of terminal lucidity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read the article. I may summarize some things here and there because it is kind of long, and I might interject a little bit with some of my comments, but I want you to be able to hear this out because I think this is a really good summary, and even with a case study in that really explains what this phenomenon is about. So the article is called Terminal Lucidity, The Researchers Attempting to Prove Your Mind Lives On Even After You Die. One of the strangest stories of death you'll ever hear is the tale of Anna Katharina Emmer, a wildly deranged, developmentally delayed German woman who was raised in a mental institution. Anna was locked in a permanent mute state, her brain ravaged by meningitis. Yet at the moment of her passing, this presumably deaf woman somehow transformed into a songbird. She serenaded death. Before that moment, Anna had never once spoken in her entire life. The doctors and hospital staff who witnessed Anna's concierge for death were rendered speechless themselves. Some sobbed in bewilderment, others felt that they witnessed a miracle of the soul. In particular, here's how one of her doctors recalled the moment. "One day, I was called by one of our physicians, who is respected both as a scientist and a psychiatrist. He said, 'Come immediately to Kathy, she's dying.' When we entered the room together, we did not believe our eyes and ears. Kathy, who had never spoken a single word, being entirely mentally disabled from birth on, sang dying songs to herself. Specifically, she would sing over and over again, 'Where does the soul find its home? It's peace, 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 heavenly peace.' For half an hour she sang. Her face up to then was just pseudified, and she was transfigured and spiritualized. She then quietly passed away. Like myself and the nurse who had care for her, the physician had tears in his eyes. We witnessed the dying of this girl with deepest emotions. Her death posed many questions to us. Obviously, Kathy had only superficially participated in all that happened in her surroundings. In reality, she had apparently internalized much of it, because where did she know the text and the melody of this song from, if not from her surroundings? Moreover, she had comprehended the contents of this song and used it appropriately in the most critical hour of her life. This appeared like a miracle to us. It wasn't until 2008, some 75 years later, that modern science finally invented a term for what happened to Anna: terminal lucidity. German biologist Michael Naum coined the term. Thanks to a recent appointment to the Institute for Frontier Areas of Psychology and Mental Health, he studies the phenomenon of the startling spontaneous exhibitions of impossible physical and mental feats at the hour of one's death. And for years, he hosted a website where he offers select writings and journal papers from his research. In essence, terminal lucidity is a mysterious flash of life and vitality that occurs in people just before they die. It's most remarkable in people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, meningitis, brain damage, strokes, or were in a coma. There's no known medical explanation for where this sudden surge of vitality and functionality comes from, in large part because as suddenly as it comes, within a few hours or even a day or two, it fades and the person dies, taking any answers with them. Naum often explains
works within the challenge with the challenging theory that our brain-body connection isn't what produces experiences of consciousness, not exclusively. Nam thinks that there are preliminary signs our minds somehow transcend our bodies, brains, and even the physical realm altogether. And this is a quote from him. When you see terminal lucidity in the context of all the other end-of-life experiences or near-death phenomenon, they all seem to point to the fact that human consciousness is not tied to a one-to-one relation with brain physiology. I find this very, very interesting. This can tell us many important things about the nature of our consciousness. I think if you take everything into account, it looks very much like a transition, he continues. The question is, can it be biochemically explained? I do have many doubts that it can be explained biochemically. So yes, I definitely think of death as a transition, no matter how you regard it. I wouldn't expect if I die to spend my time permanently in absolute clarity and bliss. Even if the afterlife continues, it certainly also will have different stages, or maybe developments, also stages of more blurred consciousness. The afterlife, if it exists, will be very complex and very difficult to understand. The question is, what is the soul if it exists? Does it persist as an individual? Is it able to dissolve into a great whatever? Can it rejoin the great consciousness that exists in the background of really all of existence? Can it pop up again and then reincarnate? Even if terminal lucidity fails to reveal evidence of souls separating at the moment of death, studying the phenomenon may still provide us with a more accurate understanding of how our body-brain-mind connection works. We still don't know how our sensation of mind emerges from the mass of neural cells we call the brain. In fact, although many legitimate scientists are working to understand consciousness, it still eludes us. Perhaps terminal lucidity often offers clues to locating where and how a mind manifests from nerve activity. Does it mean that terminal lucidity researchers like Nam are able to garner support among expert brain scientists, notably physicians and other interested biologists? And so here's a quote again from Nam. For myself, I never experienced any problems regarding other duties or my career. Regarding terminal lucidity and my occupation with the field, it's very much a question of how you formulate the measures. So even though here and there I said, yes, well, perhaps the mind is operating independently of the brain, in my publications, I have, first of all, tried to raise the interest of the mainstream researchers into studying the phenomenon, because I still think whatever we need first is more research on that. So far, mainly we have anecdotes. Nam is also encouraged by the fact that he's already has attracted an ally. There's one professor from the University of Virginia. He started a very large study on terminal lucidity. He wants to send out thousands of questionnaires to nurses and physicians, and he already sent out 900, specifically here in Central Europe. I'm in contact with him, Nam adds. He said he has very interesting cases and interesting descriptive statistics. They make it possible to harden the fact that, yes, terminal lucidity does happen. It happens today. It does happen most often close to death. This is what his data tells us. So he wants to expand on that and gather more data to collect data from different countries.
So that's really interesting, right? So there's a lot of studies being done, collected, particularly at the University of Virginia, because that's where, for example, Dr. Bruce Grayson is located, where he does a lot of his research. And then also Jim Tucker, who does research on the whole idea of children who have past life memories. So there's a lot of really interesting studies going on there, and as well as, of course, Michael Naum's studies there in Germany. And so I think what happens is that this is only scratching the surface of what we can learn. And mind/consciousness are independent. You know, something continues beyond death. Regardless, though, just the whole idea of knowing that
there's a chance that we might be able to connect with our loved ones right before they die, particularly people who are in these kind of situations of Alzheimer's, meningitis, of, severe brain dysfunction. Or also just knowing that our loved ones are going to reach a level of some sort of peace before they pass on, and whatever passing on means. But at least we know that death is generally, and even Sam Parnia has mentioned this as well, a cardiac arrest researcher, says that, we're seeing that death is a peaceful transition, and it's something that we probably shouldn't be afraid of. It's something that just happens naturally. We're gonna die eventually anyway, but knowing that there is a peaceful transition into whatever goes on next, and a lot of evidence is pointing that, something does continue onward. And I think that in itself is really strong evidence to, provide us maybe the hope that we need, knowing that, even though, we've got this lifetime here, there may be something else beyond that.